passage that we can learn some new things from this morning. And join me in prayer. Our God and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, I thank you for this time of the year that you've given to us to focus within. As Paul said, take a good look at yourself. Help us everybody not to start looking around at everybody else and pointing out their faults and criticizing them. Help us to take a look in the mirror and look within and focus on a tune-up within us, that we might be right before you. Lord, I thank you that you've given us instructions on what all these things mean. This morning I pray, Lord, that you would just remove me from this picture completely. And I pray that we would hear from you and we would hear your heart and understand your heart. There would be a heart-to-heart connection made, that we would understand the heart of our loving Heavenly Father, and that we would respond accordingly, and that we would hear your voice and connect. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, this morning is Shabbat Shuvah. You know, we have the holiday cycle every year. why do you suppose we have to do it every year? What about every 5 years? Every 10 years? Once in your lifetime? No. It's because we need to be reminded of certain things, and it's like, oh yeah, and I have a designated time to think about this particular thing every year, year after year after year. Shabbat Shuvah is the Shabbat of return, the Sabbath of return, or repentance, in between Rosh Hashanah, it's during the 10 days of Av, and Yom Kippur. So whenever that Shabbat falls, that's Shabbat Shuvah, the Sabbath of return. And I'm going to ask two questions this morning, and I'm going to answer them. Okay, at the end of the message, that's how you know when I'm finished. Well, when I answer these two questions, and they're one-liners, okay? The question is, what happens when you repent? Number one. Number two, what happens when you don't? I have two one-liners at the end. I'll give you the answer. Well, in Luke chapter 15, see, Luke, we're studying Acts, and boy, are we. Well, Luke wrote Acts, and he wrote the book of Luke, and he has illustrations he gives, okay? He focused a lot on Yeshua's parables, on the stories he told. And you know, sometimes we learn best through a story, an illustration, a picture that can reach out, and this one's meant to grab your heart, okay, to grab your heart. Yeshua taught his position on Teshuvah. Teshuvah is return, repentance, but it's a lot more than that, a lot bigger picture. What we have in this chapter is one story with three parts. It's a trilogy, but it's only one story. It's one point. It's one message. All right? It's about, and it paints a picture, a vivid picture, to reveal the Heavenly Father's heart. That's the point of this. Okay? What is His heart like concerning you and concerning me? Okay? And the occasion. Let's take a look at the occasion. Luke 15 for this particular story. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners. It's interesting, the tax collectors were a different category of sinners, a worse category. Matthew was a tax collector. The tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. You know what? That is really good. That is what we want. We want people that are not quite the way they ought to be spiritually to hear Yeshua. Okay? That's what we want. And sometimes our attitudes get kind of different. But this is his heart. This is a good thing. They drew near to hear him. This is a good thing. And the Pharisees had a little problem with this, all right? And the Pharisees and scribes complained. And here we go with complaining again. The complaints. We had some complaints this week. Now, in the last 2 weeks, all right? We did, in this congregation. And my response to those people who complained about what they complained about was, I prayed about this, okay? You need to repent from what you said, okay? Because you were wrong. If you think it's you, see me later, and I'll tell you if it's you or not, okay? And if it is, I'll tell you. But I think you know who you are. This is on tape, right?
Right, okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, there's a mighty wind blowing my Bible here. All right, it's okay. And the Pharisees and scribes, the complainers, they complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." This is a good thing. And they're complaining about a good thing. But you know what? What's interesting is when you look at the scriptures, and we're doing this in the book of Acts, and next week is going to be a lot of fun on Thursday night, all right? Because through Jewish eyes and a Jewish perspective and a Jewish mindset, there is humor. And there's some humor in this very serious story because there's sarcasm. There's Jewish sarcasm on how you explain and say something to make your point. Well, here's the first part. So that was the complaint. So he spoke this parable to them, to the Pharisees and scribes who were complaining. They get the story. All right? So we'll do it in three parts. And in the first part, I'll show you the first bit of sarcasm. He says, what man among you, he's talking to them, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it, that persistence. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders. Boy, that's personal contact. Rejoicing, that's emotions. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me. You know, there's joy. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And here's the sarcasm. And he says, and I say to you, he's talking to the Pharisees and scribes, and I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, you all know that verse. But look at the body language of it, all right? The hand motions. Okay, there's more joy in heaven when he's pointing at one of these tax collectors or sinners, a street person, let's say, okay? There's more joy in heaven over one of these street people who repents. Now, can you be the Pharisees for 1 minute? Than over you 99 righteous people who don't need to repent. You know, it's like he's making the point, right? This is sarcasm, the teaching that makes the point. It's like, and the Pharisees might have been even saying, well, you might have a point. We are, because their self-righteousness, self-deception is what it was. But Yeshua begins to make that point of the separation. So, you know, I'm not really, my message isn't for you who don't need repentance. You don't have any sin. My message is not for you. It's for people like this. Okay? Are you working on your list? Remember the list we were talking? Okay, good. Keep it to 10, okay, all right. But part of that point was this. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over all the rest who are really doing good, okay? That's the point. Well, okay, let's look at the first part of this. We have a lost sheep. A lost sheep. Now, you've all heard this story, but there's some new stuff for you guys today. All right, the guy had 100 sheep, okay? Yeah, he loses 1% of the flock. 1%. Now, if you have a dollar and lose a penny, it's not that big a thing, right? It really isn't. All right? 1%. Why would he put his life in danger to go after 1%? And I got to tell you that the sheep is probably stupid, okay, to do this, to wander off and go away. Why would you do that? Over 1% of the flock. Remember, this is the Father's heart. Okay, 1% of the flock. What's the value of a sheep? What is the value of a sheep? Anybody here in 4-H Club? Okay. Well, you ask me, I'll tell you, okay? The value of a sheep is about $200, okay? It's the value of a sheep. Okay, farm animals have value. I have a little farm, and I have chickens, and their numbers are dwindling because of an animal that we don't know what it is who is causing us a problem. But there's value. Those chickens give me eggs, okay? They're good eggs. Farm free-range chickens, okay? Okay. But farm animals have value, for sure. What about the sheep? What was their value? Well, it was a sign of wealth. When Abraham had lots of sheep and goats and cattle and all this, it was a sign of wealth, okay? What do the sheep do for you? Well, you get milk, you get cheese, clothing, cotton, okay? Sacrifice, wool. I meant wool. That's on tape, too. Where's Rosemary Wood when you need her to fix these tapes, okay? Some of you don't know who she is, do you? Some of the people here are not yet 50 years old in this very room, but there are others who are. Her birthday was yesterday. She's 50. What did you have for dinner last night? Had buffalo. We had buffalo for dinner last night. Yes. No, we did not have lamb, no. because of this very message, okay? All right, a sacrifice. Okay, the lamb's important for sacrifice, but one more thing they did for the owner of the flock, they reproduced other sheep, and you would get wealthier and have more of this stuff. So there is value in the farm animal, all right? Except when Yeshua taught about sheep, he wasn't talking about sheep, was he? He's talking about people when he talks about sheep. And in John chapter 10, what did he say about sheep? He says the good shepherd knows his sheep, and he calls his sheep by name. Wait a minute, it's getting a little personal. Calls his sheep by name. Calls them by name. Why was that? Because back in those days, the sheep were more than just farm animals. They were like pets. They had names. Now, years ago in Northern California, we had sheep. Our daughter Terry was in 4-H. We had the sheep. We had cows, right? We learned from experience. You don't name the cow you're going to eat. Okay, you call it the cow. Okay, and you refer to beef. And unfortunately, when Heidi made the transition from the pasture to the freezer, okay? But the kids would not eat Heidi, okay? Because we learned, okay, you don't name those animals. Because if they become, you don't name them, okay? Just don't do that. He says, I know my sheep by name. So maybe let's take a little twist in the story and call it the story of the lost pet. Makes a little more sense maybe now he would go after, give me a name of a sheep here quick. we'll come back to Sam. Wooly. Okay, Wooly. It would make more sense to go after Wooly, wouldn't it, than the sheep. Okay. So you might, okay. Now, how many of you in this room have pets with names? Okay, everybody shout out the name of your pet right now. Wow, that was good. Okay, look at this. All right. Some of you think I have a little white 15-pound fluffy dog, right? Now, you have to be a secure man to have a little white fluffy dog. I don't have a dog. I have Hadas, okay? I have a little person with four legs that's fluffy, all right? Now, what is Hadas worth? Well, if you call my vet and ask him what my bill has been over the year, you'll get some degree of value there that I think Hadas is worth. And some instruction, don't get a purebred, okay? They tend to have problems. But you know, I don't blink to go spend tons of money. She's been on her deathbed twice, and she's having some problems this week that we're not sure what the story is, and I'm a little bothered, okay? Because it's not a dog, it's a family member. Okay, your pets are family members. If they get loose and get out, you're going to go looking for them. And you're not going to stop until you find them. That's what he's saying. See, a farm animal's worth $200. But what's Samson worth? He's priceless. He's priceless, isn't he? I mean, okay. So that was what he was saying there. Well, yeah, you go look, even if under those conditions. The lost family member, yep, we'd go looking. But is he teaching about sheep? But his point was this, that the shepherd looked until he found it. He didn't stop until it was found. And then there was joy. The result was joy. There was happiness. There was joy. But it wasn't just joy at the shepherd's house. That's what the shepherd saw. And you see that in the story. But Yeshua said, no, there's joy in heaven over one person who's lost, who's found. Okay? You want to cause some joy in heaven today? You can do that. Well, and then he goes to part two. Let's take a look at part two. It gets deeper, each one. Or what woman? So you start off with saying, what man among you? Now it's what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin? Again, one, there's 10. One, okay? This is 10% though, not 1% this time, a little bit more. Having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, see, she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. And then Yeshua said, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. What's with the coin? What's with the coin? How much is this coin worth? In the Greek, it tells you what kind of coin it is, so we know its value in today's economy. What did she lose? $200 again, same amount as the sheep. Okay, not now, most of us, if we lose $200 bills at home, we'll start looking, right? We'll sweep the house, check the vacuum bag, we'll start looking for the money, right? Yeah, okay, for $200, we'll start looking, right? But this is more than that. The Greek word that's used here is this woman is in a state of panic. She has 10 coins. She lost one. Just get another one. All right? But this is panic because it wasn't the $200. Okay? Now we'll start identifying more with this one. There was something else going on here. All right? In the days of Yeshua, when you got married, when you got under the chuppah, the woman would wear either a necklace or a headdress made up of 10 of these silver coins. In the year prior to the wedding, her betrothed, her love, would give her one coin about once a month until she got 10. Start seeing the value here a little bit? You see, this came from your love, and it was a gift of his love to you. It's the equivalent of our engagement ring today that you would wear. You wouldn't wear it until the wedding day. I'll tell you what, if you lose that, all of a sudden, this is sentimental value. It's heart value, not $200. What's the value of your engagement ring? Okay? Now don't jump on this just yet. Because I'll tell you, sometimes I've canceled young couples, and they're all lovey-dovey and touchy-feely and all this. And I'm counseling them. You might want to move the wedding date up a little bit, maybe. Let's have it sooner. So on, and I look over at their ring, and what do I see? All these diamonds? No, I see a little gold band that they got at Target. But you know what? That's all they can afford. But that is, my love gave me this ring from Target, but it means this. It means this. It's symbolic of this. And if I lose that, I'm going to look until I find it. It's not the value of it. I paid $50 for it, but you know what? It's of sentimental value because it's a picture of his love for me or whatever. So it's sentimental value, okay? Yeshua's point, she looked until she found it. And when she found it, she was rejoicing. But Yeshua then says, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now we might say, well, there's lots of people. You know, there's lots of people. And if we have an evangelistic meeting, and a lot of people come, and if we give an invitation and half of them come forward, man, that's a successful meeting. What about if 20% come forward and receive the Lord? How about 10%? How about if only one person? And we say, well, that wasn't a very good meeting. Only one person came to the Lord. That's not his attitude. That's not his heart. There's rejoicing in heaven over one. What's the value of a human being? What's the value of a soul? See, that's what he's saying. There's rejoicing over one. And you know there was rejoicing over you when you made that decision. You know that? There was rejoicing in the heavenlies over you. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. But we have a lost sheep, a lost coin. What's the value of a sheep? $200. What's the value of a coin? Well, it's sentimental. But the next question is the big one. What's the value of a son? The value of a son. Let's take a look at the first half, which is all we're going to look at today. Then he said, a certain man, by the way, when he talks like this, he moves from illustration to real people. Whenever you see Yeshua using the term a certain man, like in the Good Samaritan story, he's not saying, well, let's, what if, no, these are real people. Okay, and it may have been people present that they knew. He might have been pointing again, a certain man had two sons. Oh yeah, we know this guy. Okay? That's the language here. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them to them his livelihood. And notice it's them to both sons. Okay? Now the older son gets a double portion of the inheritance. But the little point here is that it's not theirs yet until the father dies, all right? If you've seen the bumper sticker, I'm spending my children's inheritance, okay, well, okay. But it's not rightfully theirs until it's his. It's the father's until he dies. So he wants something that's not his at this point. More on that in a minute. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with, and the New King James glosses over this, with prodigal living. It was bad news what he was doing, all right? And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. What country was it? Oh, what country wasn't it? It wasn't Israel. He's out in Gentile country, isn't he? He's not in his land with his people, with his family. He's in a foreign place. Little point there. And he began to be in want. Verse 15. And when he joined himself to a citizen of that country, he joined himself, unequally yoking in a way, he sent him into the fields to feed pigs. There we go. We're going downhill, aren't we? And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs ate, but no one would give him any. Okay. But, I love this. This is a good verse. But when he came to himself, that's the beginning of Teshuvah. That is not Teshuvah. That's the first step of Teshuvah. When he came to himself. When you do that, what does that mean? It goes something like this. I have been stupid. That's what it means. I have been really dumb. You click, duh. That's where it starts. I have been so stupid. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and spare? And I'm perishing with hunger. Here's what I'm going to do. I will rise. Now keep in mind these steps. I will rise and I will go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. That's what's going on in him. You know what? I'm going to go home. But you know what? I spent everything. I'm not worthy to be called a son, but I want to go home. Maybe if I'm lucky, he'll make me a servant. But I'm going to go home. These are interesting steps. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. How could his father see him when he was a great way off? His father was looking, okay, and had compassion. And ran to him and fell on his neck and kissed him. There was embracing. He kissed him. An emotional moment. And the son said to him, see, the son had a prepared speech. He had a speech all ready to go. I'm gonna do this. We have the speech. His father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Now, you know there's a second part of that. I want to be one of your hired servants. That's the next part of the speech. The father doesn't let him get there. But the father said, interrupted actually, to his servants, bring out the best robe, not a robe, the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found, and they began to be merry. Well, it's a lot of stuff here. A lot of stuff in this. It's the father's heart. And maybe towards some of you today. He came to himself. When we're talking about Shabbat Shuvah, the concept of Teshuvah, when we say repentance and what all that means, these are Hebraic pictures all through here that we have misunderstood and made not quite the way it really is. It's a lot deeper than what this would look like. Okay, it starts off like this. He's out there. You might say this. Ask this question. What's a nice Jewish boy like to feeding pigs, living with the pigs? Okay? How is that? He came to himself. This is dumb. And that term, he came to himself, is a Hebraic phrase meaning repentance. He began to repent. He began to repent. Now, in Jewish thought, the term repentance, you know, we've said, well, it means to turn and return. We'll get to all that. But it also means, it's a picture, to come home. When Yeshua was using this story this way, that was the picture that's being painted. They say, oh yeah, we know what that word means. It means to come home, to come home. He had assimilated into a Gentile culture on purpose. He did it on purpose. He's in rebellion. Okay? He had rebelled against his family, against his heritage. He's out feeding pigs in some foreign land. Again, the word teshuvah means to return. It's a picture of return, returning home. Here's the full picture. To repent, which means you start turning around, to turn around, and return. So it's not just the first part. It's not just the turning. Okay, it's the returning and the coming back. But there's more than that. There's more than that. And in last week's message, Asaph gave us some of those pictures. It's a return and a change of mind and a change of heart. Okay? It's a change in the way you think. You can say, well, I'm sorry for what I did. That's not repentance in Hebraic thought. You can say, I'm sorry and not return. See? And not change the way you think. Or you can say, I'm sorry, and then return home, but not change the way you think. But the prodigal son story, he was sorry. He did return, and he did change the way he thought. He changed perspectives, and he was willing to be a hired servant. Back to the shepherd. When the shepherd found the sheep, what did he do? What do you do to your animal when it was stupid and ran away and you found it? He beat the sheep, right? You beat the sheep. No, you didn't beat the sheep. What do you, okay, say your animal's name again. What are the names? No, all your pets, okay? Not just the sheep pets. Come on. Your name's your pets. Come on, louder. Yep. I didn't ask for a commentary on the sheep part, okay? We might have a sheep shearing here soon. And I have a few days left to repent. There might be some beating of the sheep, too, as well. No, when you find your pet, you give him a hug and a kiss, and you hold him. You don't beat him up. You don't do that. When the shepherd found the sheep, he rejoiced and put it on his shoulders and carried it back. Didn't scold it. This son had some problems. He was in rebellion. He wanted his father's money more than a family relationship. Okay? I don't want to be in this family anymore. I just want the family's money. Okay? Okay? He in his rebellion, he left the home of being a privileged landowner, ended up in great poverty in a foreign country eating with pigs. Wow. But in this concept of the Teshuvah, he moves from I want what I think is mine now, which is not a good attitude, to I'm not worthy of anything. I'm nobody. And I have no rights to anything. In fact, nothing is mine. And I'm okay with that. You know, that's where God wants us right there. That's where God wants us. I'm nobody, I'm nothing, and I'm okay. I just want to come home. I just want to come home. You see, maybe there are 99 sheep that didn't go astray. Hallelujah, if you're one of those. Hallelujah. But what if you're the one? One of the ones that went astray. You see, that's the attitude of the father's heart he wants to hear. You know what? I just want to come home. I just want to come home. In the sheep, the shepherd went out and searched until he found it. He looked, and he physically brought it home. Sometimes that's what you have to do. With the coin, she tore the house apart and searched. There was urgency until she found it. And sometimes that's what you have to do. It's, I have to do this right now. I got to go get him and bring him back. But then in this story of the son, didn't work that way. The father didn't, he let him go. Didn't go out after him. The father was looking. He was looking. He was looking. And he watched. Waited until that time that he came to himself. And the lights came on. And he wanted to come home. And he was waiting with open arms. Sometimes that's what we have to do. And that's hard. Because you want to go out and make it happen. You want to go out and shake him. You want to go out and grab him like it's a sheep or a coin. But sometimes with the son, it doesn't work like that. You have to wait till they come to themselves. But the hope of the story is they do. They do. But you as a parent, what's it going to be like when they do? When they come home, how are they going to be treated? This son left home. It was his choice. Bad choice, but he did it. Did the father let him go? Yeah. Was he still his father's son? Yes. Was he under his father's care, direction, protection? No, not anymore. But things weren't quite what you thought they'd be when he got out there. And teens, this one might be for you. The grass was not greener when he got out there. In fact, there wasn't any grass. No grass. You're sold a bill of goods with all kinds of stuff, saying this, you'll love this, you'll like this, this is great, this is wonderful. No. Follow the scriptures, because this is the greener grass right here. These are the green pastures where the sheep of your heavenly Father will lead you, where the good shepherd Yeshua will take you. Okay, not the world around you. No grass. He came to himself. But could he come home? See, that's a good question. He knew that he could, but he felt unworthy. He felt unworthy. Now, as we look at the process of return in this, this is a perfect Hebraic teaching. This is how a rabbi would have taught Teshuvah. On Shabbat Shuvah, this is the outline that would have been given. The first step is repentance, turning and returning. There was a decision made. He made a decision. I'm going to go home. That's the first step of repentance. It's an act of my will. I'm going to do this. Or sometimes it's, I'm not doing this anymore, this sin. I'm going to quit right now. You make a decision. I will change. I will come home. And the decision was acted upon, okay? And he started. You got to start on the right path. Second part is confession. I have sinned. You got to say that. I was wrong. I have sinned. When you have sinned, you need to say that. I have sinned. I have been wrong. And when you sin, this is the good theology. I have sinned against God and against you. See, when you sin, sometimes it's against other people, but it's against God as well. You have to admit that. Confession is saying, I've sinned. God gave me these instructions and I went against them. I have sinned. And many times we sin against people, and you need to confess that. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And I'm not worthy. You know what? That's the humility part. And that's true. It's verbal agreement with God. You're agreeing with God and His Word. That's why Yeshua came. The third step is the forgiveness. Where did that take place? In the arms of a loving father. While he was giving his speech, the father just grabbed him, put his arms around him, and kept holding him tighter and tighter, and he couldn't talk anymore. Because the father didn't care about the servant part, because that's not going to happen. And reconciliation took place there too, in the same place. And many people say, well, this isn't really the story of the prodigal son. It's the story of the loving father and the forgiving father. He's mentioned like a dozen times in the story. But this is the heart of the father, okay? And what is our attitude toward these kinds of things? You should be severely punished for what you did. Look at this list. I have this long list. Is that what the father did? Oh, I have this list I've been making of all the things. No, he didn't have a list. He had a kiss and a hug and an embrace. That's what he had. And then he said, get the best robe, okay? The ring, the sandals. We're going to have a party. See, they're going to have a party. It wasn't the counseling session on all the wrongs. It was, we're going to have a party. Okay? Now, this is a call to come home. Teshuvah. Into the arms of a loving, compassionate father who wants to forgive any of you who've gone astray, whether you're a sheep or a coin or a son or a daughter. But the picture is, you might think, well, I'm not worthy, and what's waiting for me is judgment and all this. No, what's waiting for you are wide open arms of a father who loves you more than you can ever imagine. You know, some of you have earthly fathers who haven't shown much love to you. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about your heavenly father who has all love that he wants to embrace you with and forgive you if you've done wrong against him. The father was looking. Longing, grieving for his son. And one day he saw him. And he didn't wait. He could have waited. He ran to meet him. He ran. That's the Father's heart for you. He wants to run to you, meet you halfway. He's not going to wait until, okay, you got it. No, he will run. When you start, he'll run. He will meet you halfway and bring you back in his arms like the sheep on the shoulders. That's the picture. son had the right attitude and his desire to be restored. He was willing to pay back what he owed. And we need to be willing to do that if we've harmed people. Pay back what we owe. He was willing to take the responsibility for his wrongs and make it right. And we need to do that. He had the right attitude. He had separated himself from his father's fellowship, but not his father's love. Okay, but he didn't know that. His sonship, this is the theology part, okay, did not depend on his worthiness or his actions. He was his father's son, no matter what, because of his birth. So my question is, have you been born again? That establishes your sonship, okay? The new birth, the rebirth, that establishes that. And if you've been a little lamb that acted kind of immaturely and kind of wandered off, you're invited to come back. You're invited to come back, to return into the arms of a loving father who doesn't have the list waiting of all the wrongs, but he has forgiveness and reconciliation waiting for you. But you've got to make the step. You've got to turn around, and you've got to go to him, and he'll meet you halfway. That's what you do. That's the process of return. You have to start it. And you're invited. This is the invitation to return and to come back. And you know what's waiting for you? A party. A party. A party. He was restored as a son, not as a servant. You are my son. I will forgive you. I'll bring you back into the place of fellowship, into the family. And I'll never make this an issue in our lives. It's forgotten. It's forgiven. This reveals the heart of a father who will take back a son that sins. That's us. That's us. That's us. The heart of your heavenly father. He gave him the best robe, not a robe. It signifies the inheritance that he had as a son. Belonged to him. The word for robe was the same one for Joseph in his coat of many colors. It was an important robe. A robe of position, birthright. The ring was the signet ring of authority in the family, power. Sandals. Servants don't wear shoes. You're not a servant. You're going to wear shoes. And a party in your honor. He left home to have a good time. When we rebel, we think it's going to be a good time, huh? Guess what? Some of us have to learn the hard way. I hope not all of us. He expected to be wearing fine clothes with all of his money, jewelry, in a far country. He ended up eating with pigs. That's where it's going to go. That's where sin will take you, right? With the pigs, all right? But he came home. When he got home, what did he have? The best robe, a new ring, and new shoes, okay? And a really good meal, a party. In the far country, he expected all the abundance, but where that was home, in the presence of his father. In that far country were the pigs. And he had the party. What he needed was to be home, was to be home. What's interesting is when you look at these three, and the people involved, that the dynamic builds. The focus on the first, we have the sheep and the shepherd. Okay, we're looking at focusing on the sheep that was lost. And the second is the search, focusing on the search. But the focus on the third is restoration, is the restoring. It emphasizes the agony in the heart of the loving father who had lost what was of the greatest possible value, his son. And you know, nothing hurts more than when your son rebels on purpose. He chose to do that. In these three stories, the shepherd suffered more than the sheep. The woman more than the coin. The father more than the son. Is the hero of the story the prodigal son who made the right choice to repent and come home? No, it's the father who forgave him. You see, fathers, that's our responsibility, is to forgive our children. Forgiveness means you don't bring it up. You receive them and restore them. into fellowship with you. God seeks after those that have gone astray until he finds them. Yeshua said that. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. When they repent and come home, that is teshuvah. And he's waiting for you to come home with loving arms of a compassionate father who longs for a relationship with his children. And that's the picture. And you know what? By the end of the story, I cannot but think that the Pharisees were agreeing with Yeshua, saying, you know what? You have just taught Jewish theology. It's exactly what we teach, but that's not what we do. His point was made. So what do you do? Well, which are you in the story? Are you the one who went away, or are you the one who's waiting for someone to come back? Either way, this tells us what to do. And the highest expression of our lives to receive someone back who sinned against us and forgive them and restore them. And the tough thing to do is, if you're in rebellion, is to admit it and agree with God and turn around and make that choice. And you don't know what's gonna happen. Your father may not do this, but your heavenly father will. That's the point. You're invited to come home and return at this season into his presence, and that's what you're going to receive, the loving arms of your heavenly father. So at the beginning of this message, I ask you two questions. All right? This is the test. This is the quiz. Number one, what happens when people repent? What happens when they repent and return to their father? Answer is, they have a party waiting for them. Question two, what happens when they don't repent? They get to live with pigs. Which choice do you want to make today? Okay. That was interesting. Last week's message was the same thing. You know, I said before you, two choices, life or death. You choose. It's like, gosh, I have to think about that one very long. Not very long, huh? No. But people make the wrong choice. Do you want to come home to a party? Jewish parties are so much fun. Come on, think about it. Or do you want to live with the pigs? Because that's the choice. It's a no-brainer. But you got to do what he did. You got to start. You got to say, I'm going to do this. And you got to come home. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. That... You know, it's not according to our worthiness, but according to your grace, according to your love. And this portrays the immense depth of love that you love us. And that Yeshua paid the total price that we would be forgiven of all of our sins and wrongdoings and shortcomings. And the invitation was to come to him. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you that peace. It only comes from him. But the invitation was, you come to me. You make the decision. You make the choice. You start the journey, and I'll meet you halfway. Lord, I thank you for your invitation. And I thank you for the picture that we had here of what happens when we repent. And we don't come home to an angry father that has a long list of true and accurate things and punishments awaiting us. We come home to love and hugs and kisses and embracing. And he's not so concerned about our list because he has one for us. And it's a party. And there's rejoicing in the presence of God with the angels of God over one sinner who repents, over one. Maybe that's one of you in this room today. Would you make that choice today? If you're doing something wrong, make the choice to do it right. And make the turn and come back and come home. If you've never had the most wonderful possible experience of coming to know the Messiah Yeshua in a personal way, you can do that today and begin the journey by being born again. All you have to do is ask, and he'll do the rest. After our closing song and dance, there's people up here that will be available to pray. Come up, I pray. And say to them what your need is, and they will pray with you and for you. and together you can begin again and be in the arms of a Father who loves and kisses and who embraces and who forgives and who restores because you're a son and a daughter. Thank you for your grace in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem right now.
Kathy doing that too?
I'll do it now. I'm right here. Because as the verse we started with this morning in